Back on Downtown on this Tuesday afternoon, and time for us to talk some basketball, specifically the Boston Celtics, as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey, dropping 50, that's a pretty good night.
Yep, 50 is generally considered a good basketball game. So, yeah, Jaylen Brown having a big, big night. More impressive than the overall total was the 14 points in the last 4 minutes or so, and the late explosion, and, you know, giving the game what it needed. I think the late kind of explosion just shows Jaylen waiting for the opportunity to do what he needs to do. It was a nice performance. It was tough early on with the turnovers, but later on he made up for it and then some.
Boy, I thought it was interesting, too. I was looking at your post about the shots that he took and the fact that he actually did a little better on contested shots.
Yeah, the contested shots, he was, 12 of 15 on the contested shots. And that, I think, was a function of him driving to the rim. Most of his points, 26 of his points, came at the rim. And it was 7 at the line and 15 from the three-point line. So in the paint, I should say, not necessarily all at the rim, but mostly. That's where you're going to drive through traffic. You're going to have a lot of people trying to contest you. And but he, you know, some strong, tough finishes for him. That was one of the more impressive parts of his game, that he was able to turn the corner. And he said after the game, "I didn't think anybody could stay in front of me." He was right. Like, they didn't really have anybody that could truly stay in front of him. Once he tightened things up, once he focused a little bit more on the attack, and I think some of the early sloppy turnovers, for whatever reason, if he was distracted or somehow came out slow or flat, once that tightened up, then he got to the rim kind of at will, and you saw that especially in that fourth quarter.
Well, the turnover is certainly an issue for him, but for a lot of Celtics. But I was surprised to see that for the season, he now has more turnovers than assists.
Yeah, I think, look, first of all, that's happened now a couple of seasons for him. And that's something that he definitely needs to correct. He also hasn't been counted on to be a big assist guy necessarily. I mean, he's going to drive more to score than he is to pass and create assists. So if he has 3 or 4 turnovers a game, which for a guy who's a high usage guy, that'll happen. You kick out, and most of your passes are out to threes, and those hit at what? 35% to 40% if they're really good. So I can see how that historically has been the case. What Jaylen needs to have happen now is not only cut down on the turnovers, but start to find guys like cutters and put them in more of a position to score. Maybe not to the level that Tatum's being asked to do it, but certainly to a better level than just driving kicks. But it does also speak to the Celtics need better shooters. And I think if they had better shooters, that number, while it looks bad for Jaylen Brown, it is somewhat an indictment of who they've had catching his passes and trying to make those shots. So the Celtics do need to have better shooters around him. I think that would help change that a little bit, too.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, some good news in the return of Jason Tatum, and it sounds like maybe this go-around with COVID wasn't quite as tough as the last.
Yeah, I think this one, you know, for various reasons, was a little bit easier. I think he's vaccinated, so that might have helped. And, with this Omicron variant, there seems to be some indication that it's not quite as bad. So I think a lot of these guys, in general, are coming back from less severe cases, which is great for Tatum, obviously, because he had a very severe case last year. It's been almost exactly a year since his last bout with COVID. So hopefully this is not an annual thing. This one seemed to go a bit better. He's back in practice. They made sure to give him a few practices or a few sessions out there to get that reconditioning down, get him more up to speed. Ime says he looks good out there. Doesn't seem to be any need for an inhaler this time around, which was a big deal the last time. So, and then hopefully with everybody slowly coming back here, there's not going to be as much of a toll on him just in general.
Am I making excuses when I look around the rest of the league and think maybe they're still not in that bad a shape, because with a few notable exceptions, every team this year has seemed to go through these fits and starts, and most teams out there, like the Celtics, are struggling to find any level of consistency.
It's very much the story of the league this year. You know, you look at the East, and the Celtics are a game below 500, and, you know, you look, it's not that, the teams above them aren't that far above 500, and there's a huge middle class in the NBA where teams are within striking distance. So yeah, the Celtics have still, surprisingly, maybe unexpectedly to some people, they still have an opportunity here to string some games together. Look, they've got San Antonio coming in on a back-to-back, and that's an advantage that they might be able to have. If the Celtics can take care of business early, then maybe the Celtics can go and rest and go into their own back-to-back against New York a little bit rested. And that's not so bad of a back-to-back, just going to New York for the night. It's a short flight, should be okay. So they have an opportunity to, if they get 4 or 5 wins together, you know, there aren't a lot of teams out there on big winning streaks. The longest winning streak in the NBA right now is 5 games, and that's Memphis. Philly's won 4 in a row, and then everyone else is at win a couple, lose a couple, and that's just the league. The league is in kind of in that pattern that you talked about.
We've got a little more than 4 weeks to go before the trade deadline. What type of moves do you think we might see from the Celtics?
I think it's still periphery type stuff. I think there's still going to be fielding offers for Dennis Schroeder. I think, you know, whatever that deal is, probably going to be probably a draft pick center deal, unless they can find a way to package him in a bigger deal. You know, somebody like that, maybe somebody is looking for a Cantor Freedom type of backup big that the Celtics can use, can move. Anything like that. I don't think that there's going to be anything huge, but it could also be a smokescreen because there's no buzz coming around the league right now about trades because most of the league has been just dealing with what 10-day hardship guys can we sign?
Mm.
And no one's calling to say, hey, what are you going to give me for Dennis Schroeder? Front office, like all the calls that Brad Stevens had been making up until this point have been like, hey, Joe Johnson, how do you feel? Are you how long of a flight will it take to get you here? You know, that type of stuff has been going on. So we might start to see some buzz and maybe something bigger will come out. But I think the relative kind of compact the nature of the standings and the play-in tournament, keeping more teams in it. I don't think there are going to be as many moves available, but the Celtics will work on the periphery and see what they can get.
Spurs have had their struggles this season. We know sometimes the Celtics play down to their level of competition. What do you think we'll see, and what do they need to do well against San Antonio?
Well, it's funny. I was just having a conversation about that, and I said the exact same words. What do the Celtics need to do? I mean, first of all, come out and move the ball and test the Spurs defense and see if they can get to the rim. DeJounte Murray's coming back off of his own health and safety protocols. He's been in reconditioning. Should try to put him to the test as well. See if he can keep up with a more up tempo. The Celtics definitely need to move the ball. I think if there's any lesson to come out of recent days, it's the ISO ball is bad. And moving the ball is good, and not waiting, you know, not pushing your own agenda personally is a good thing. And so the Celtics now, with their full starting lineup, can get out there and start doing the things that they've wanted to do, which is, you know, try to play with a little bit of pace in the half court, maybe run some more offense through the bigs, you know, Robert Williams, Al Horford up top, make Tatum and Brown cut more off of those guys a little bit and try to get them going early at the rim. So just do all that stuff. I think this right now is less about trying to game plan specifically for what the Spurs do or don't do. This is the Celtics, their starting lineup has played 87 minutes together. that's an insanely small number. Get them to just start playing together and working together the way that they wanted to work together, that Ime has wanted to work them together. And if you can just execute your own game plan, you should be okay against any of these teams that, like the Spurs, are struggling a little bit.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast with us. John, thanks as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right. I'll talk to you then.